Previously on X-Men.
Hey folks, in our last episode we started our conversation about the X-Men cinematic universe. So far we covered the original trilogy, X-Men, X2, and X-Men The Last Stand. So if you haven't listened to that episode yet, go check it out at www.popculturerewind.com. We're picking right up where we left off by going straight into the first Wolverine film and continuing through the rest of the series. Be sure to stick around to the very end as we give our thoughts on the upcoming Apocalypse and Deadpool movies. Now enjoy the show. So in 2009, we got X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, I think they were gonna make a whole series of Origins.
Magneto was gonna get one,
yeah. But this was the first one, and it didn't go over as well. And I guess they decided to scrap the whole origin template. Anyways, Wolverine Origins.
So this was
okay. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah,
which is better, X-Men Last Stand or Wolverine Origins?
Oh, geez.
You know what? Fuck better. Which is not as bad. Which is worse?
Okay, you know what? This is all going to be personal taste subjective, but I'm going to say what is not as bad. Origins is not as bad as X-Men Last Stand.
Okay.
nothing I don't like about the movie. The Wolverine Origins movie, they did a try to tell... They're going to try to be the first one to tell the actual origin of Wolverine, because in the comics,
fair enough.
In the comics, there was no origin. So once Marvel knew that the studio wanted to do a movie,
now when you say Marvel, you mean Marvel the comics,
right?
Because now when you say Marvel, people think studios.
True. Okay. Yeah, fair enough. So yeah, Marvel Comics. Once they found out that, of course, the studio was going to do a movie focusing on the origin of Wolverine, how his claws came up and everything, they actually jumped the gun and said, okay, we're going to make our own comic first to make it actual official continuity canon for the storylines, or for the comics.
Now, when you say his origin, are you referring to him being a little kid in Canada?
Yeah.
Or are you talking about the fact that we learned Wolverine actually had bone claws?
Well, both, actually. It's all the same.
I thought that came out way earlier.
He had bone. Yeah, it was established he had bone underneath those metal claws.
In the comic, Magneto rips all the metal out of him.
Yeah. Fatal Attraction is a really good storyline.
Yeah, you had that issue, and you showed it to me. Yeah. You were like, just check out what they're doing with Wolverine. Yeah. You kind of you were like a little touchstone for comic books for me a little bit in the 2000s. And you were like, check out this.
90s.
When was that issue then? In the 90s?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. That when you say Origins, I'm not thinking of him as a little kid. I'm thinking that bone. Because I remember when the trailer first hit, people I knew, my brother included, were like, are they saying that he has bone claws? Like, are they making this up? Are they just taking liberties? And I'm like, no, he has bone claws in the book.
Right.
It's been established.
Right.
Which was in the 90s, is what you're telling
me. Well, that's when the Fatal Attractions happened, when Magneto ripped it out, and then a few issues later, he popped his claws for the first time, and that's when we saw bones come out.
And then Glenn Close boils his bunny, and she's like, I will not be ignored, Dan.
Yeah.
And Michael Douglas is banging her on the... Okay.
So, because before that, we didn't know if the claws were just part of just metal,
so
or if they were part of his the skeleton, I guess. If
you want to call it. Mutation.
Yeah. So the comic Wolverine Origins that came out first, that established the fact that, yes, when he was a kid, when his mutant powers manifested, he was able to pop the claws for the first time, and they were bones.
They were bones.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So that was... Some people thought that the movie was taking liberties, you know, really big, but no, they were kind of staying true to what had already
right.
That was canon. He has bone claws.
Yeah, Marvel, went out proactively and made that comic happen before the movie came out.
Okay. Okay, so now, doesn't when he gets all the metal stripped from him, doesn't his healing factor, like, get all jacked up? Like, it turned out having metal in his bones meant his healing factor was running 24/7. But without the metal, doesn't his healing factor get, like, super-duper healing?
Because his healing factor...
Now that he doesn't have a foreign metal bonded to him...
It was adamantium poisoning.
Something like that.
Yeah, his healing factor was...
That sounded very legit the way you said it.
Right.
Yes. So, excuse me for I didn't know the technical medical term. Adamantium. Okay, well, so long story short, this movie opens with him as a little kid.
Right.
In Quebec.
Yeah.
He's a Québécois, Canadien, I am with the Wolverine. And
I do not know where you got that from.
I don't even know if they speak that way in Quebec. I don't know. I do not know. But it takes place in like 1840 something like that, right?
Yeah.
Like it implies Wolverine's like 100 and
right.
So yeah, and he's a little kid. He pops his claws. Like the groundskeeper is drunk.
And all this that they're telling in the story, this was actually, I mean, they translated pretty good back and forth between the comic and the movie, that opening scene in the movie.
Yeah, like I said, I wasn't big on reading Wolverine books at the time, so this was kind of how I was first seeing it. So, I didn't have the whole, that's not how it really happened. I was like, I guess this is how it happens. This is pretty cool.
You were open to it.
I was open to it, yeah. I think I saw it the way most people saw it, right. And I thought it was okay. So maybe that's why a lot of people thought this movie was okay. And the groundskeeper like kills his dad, and then Wolverine pops his claws, stabs the groundkeeper, and the groundkeeper's last words is, you know, "I'm Willie." No, I'm just kidding. His last words is like the groundskeeper's last words are like, "I'm actually your dad," and it's like, "Ooh, K ironico." He ends up killing his dad, so he goes on the run with the groundskeeper's other son, mm-hmm. which I guess is his half brother,
right?
A young Victor Creed who grows up to be Sabretooth.
Did he call him Dog? I think.
His real father is Snoop. He's like,
but we get a really cool montage intro of them going through the ages.
Turns out Logan Wolverine and his family had fought and died in every single American war, right next to Lieutenant Dan's family. But that is a really badass montage. It starts with like Civil War, mm-hmm. then World War One, mm-hmm. then World War Two, mm-hmm. then Vietnam War. Right. All the while, you know, executive producer, starring. Right, right. It's a really cool scene. And in that montage, as they both get older, we're introduced to Hugh Jackman again. Mm-hmm. But we're introduced to Liev Schreiber as Sabretooth, right. replacing Tyler Mane in the last movies.
Big departure.
Big departure, yeah. He's actually an actor, not just a giant wrestler man.
Yeah.
They gave him the sideburns. I guess that's part of the mutation. You just got to rock those sideburns. He's got some little fangs, and he's got, like, the fingernails of a bag lady.
Right.
As Ryan Reynolds puts it. They're in the military. They get recruited by Colonel William Stryker, this time played by Danny Houston, mm-hmm. and to form a team of mutants.
Team 7, I think, or Team X, I think.
Team Force X. So that would make more sense, because it's X-Men, right. But whatever. So we get a few new cast members and comic book characters. We get Ryan Reynolds as fan favorite Deadpool.
Right.
And when Ryan Reynolds plays him, I was kind of on board. He wasn't wearing the mask.
Right.
But he got the attitude down.
Oh, definitely.
He's a merc with a mouth. Right. Nobody's got a mouth like Ryan Reynolds. So I was on board with that.
And they established that right off the bat, too.
Yeah, he wouldn't shut up.
Yeah, would you shut up?
Wade, if he didn't have that mouth, then he'd wait. Yeah. And Wade gives him a salute. And as soon as he passes him, he kind of turns the salute in a little flimsy. I did that many times. We get... this movie taught me that Will I Am actually spells William.
Oh,
I never put it together until I saw it in the cast. I was like, oh, I've never seen it. I've always heard it spoken.
I'm glad you said that because it took me a little while to figure
that out. Will I Am is spells William. That was not made clear to me until this movie. We get Little Hobbit Mary, Dominic Monaghan as, I think they just call him Bradley.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a comic book character.
Never heard of him before.
He can just control
an
electronic shit.
Yeah.
Who else we get? We get Kevin Durand.
Yes.
As Blob. It's Fred Dukes. I enjoyed him.
Yeah.
I enjoy that actor.
I like the actor, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a big guy. Mm-hmm. He's like 6'4", 6'5". He's
interesting take on the Blob, though. I mean, well, okay, that's not that important. But.
Yeah, he just starts off as just a big guy.
He likes to eat.
Yeah. And I think that's it. And then, yeah, that's it.
Agent Zero?
Oh my, okay, dude. Agent Zero. Can you tell me what his power is?
To jump high and reload his gun at the same time.
Dude, he's supposed to be Maverick, right? He's Nord. He's a, what's his name?
He did say Nord, right?
That's his. Oh, okay. Well, Nord goes by Agent Zero. So point is, he is an established comic book character whose power is when he absorbs kinetic energy. So if you hit him, he gets stronger,
mm-hmm.
if you will. But in the movie, his power is just being really good with guns.
Yeah.
And being able to jump really bad. That was some bad wire work.
Yeah.
Where he's running, and he doesn't even, like, bend his knees to leap. He just levitates off the ground. It is the worst wire work. And that's the thing about, like, the effects, the wire work, the CGI in this movie is awful. Wolverine's CGI claws look fucking terrible, dude. I've seen YouTube spoof movies that look better than this. Dude, it's just really bad effects all around.
I'm trying to think. I don't remember them having a problem with those.
With the CGI claws?
Yeah.
Did you go back and watch this?
Because
I did.
Yeah.
It is bad. The CGI is pretty bad. Yeah.
And what, like on all of it? Like on all the claws every time he pops them? Or?
I just remember in the beginning when he popped, like when he's in the farmhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, shink, and he's literally looking at them, rubbing them together, like he's first.
Oh, that part is bad. Yeah, when he's doing that. Oh, God, yeah, that is bad. Now,
yeah, okay, it's bad. I think the rest of the time is during action, and you're not really looking at it. But because the scene is all about, look at these claws, it looks really bad. They don't hold up under scrutiny, I guess is the best way I should say it. So Wolverine and Sabretooth are part of this team. Stryker is trying to track down a rock. Is basically he's like Charlie Brown. I got a rock, which is adamantium.
Right.
So and they kill people. It's like they're sort of a black ops kind of group. And Wolverine, he's not having it.
Yeah,
he quits. He doesn't want to kill people anymore. So he goes becomes a lumberjack, right?
Yeah,
from there, and he's living in Canada
with Silver Fox
with Kayla Silver Fox, the love interest. He's played by Lynn Collins.
Mm-hmm.
She gets killed. Sabretooth kills her.
Right.
So that motivates Wolverine to hunt down Sabretooth, but he needs the adamantium. This is where we finally see him get the adamantium, the infamous adamantium that's in the whole thing.
Right,
so they did a decent enough version of that.
For the movie, like, movie verse, it was...
Yeah, he's in the water, he gets the adamantium, it's done cool.
Yeah, actually, the image of him, like, busting out of the tank...
Naked? Like, is that what you liked? We get a lot of butt crack in this movie.
Well, this is actually, I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is almost, we're getting like the more ripped Hugh Jackman at this point.
Yeah, I think this is when he really started working out.
Like this might be a thing. I might want to commit to this now.
I think I remember seeing like magazine covers for this movie where he's in his wife beater with his muscles and stuff like that. Yeah. So he gets the adamantium, he starts hunting down Sabretooth, but this is where he runs into another fan favorite, big time fan favorite, Gambit.
Yes.
Yes, played by Taylor Kitsch.
Yeah.
Who, what'd you think of him as Gambit?
Okay, here's the thing about him. I wanted to like him so much, because I love Gambit.
I love Gambit too. Everybody loves Gambit.
Yeah.
Surprised it took four movies to get Gambit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, fans, what do y'all want to see? Gambit. Well, what else do you want to see?
How about a kid who could write without even touching the paper?
That's cool, right?
I wasn't on board.
Okay, I didn't hate Taylor Kitsch.
Want to say
Friday
Night Lights, Battleship,
John Carter. Yeah, there you go.
I'd rather see John Carpenter in this role. He'd have been a better Gambit.
I didn't hate him as Gambit. I know a lot of people just can't stand him as seeing him like that, but he's decent. He wasn't horrible.
It's just, it goes back, he's only in this movie he has like one, like 10-minute scene maybe.
Yeah.
And then like one little quick throwaway at the end, but he doesn't really affect the movie at all. So why do you change him so much from the comic? What would it hurt to just give us a more accurate portrayal? Gambit is Cajun.
Mm-hmm.
He's very Cajun. You know, that was a terrible Cajun accent. But he's very Cajun, you know. Yeah. He's always, you know, petit, and say, you know, I guarantee. So that was more Leatherhead than Gambit. But the point is, I don't think he played him very Cajun at all. I think in his first, like Remy LeBeau, I am. He starts it, and again, this is a thing with these series; they just drop the accent,
right? Yeah.
So he loses it, and Gambit's he's got those black eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing with
his
character.
That's what he's known for. Yeah,
he's known for having those black. The red pupils with the black eyes, and they didn't do that with this. And I was like a little bummed out.
You know what irritates me more than anything about these little flaws in these characters that they bring on the big screen is I go to a lot of comic book conventions. I see cosplayers do 100% times better than what I've seen in movies. Like I've seen Gambit cosplayers with the black eyes and the red pupils.
Totally.
And, and I'm like, why can't
the purple armor and the thing that makes their hair all like, sticking up.
It looks badass when you're looking at it right in person. Like, why can't you?
Yeah, I totally buy it. But so they don't make him Cajun. They don't give him the eyes. Now, Gambit's big move is he charges a card with his energy and he throws it and it blows up.
Right.
He charges cards, but then he can sort of levitate the cards and then throw like seven at once without touching them.
I was going to say slow down time.
But. So and then they don't even blow up. They just like hit you really hard. Like the point is, they tweaked his power again for what purpose? Give the fans. We've been waiting for 4 years
Four movies, I guess.
Yeah, more than that. We've been waiting for 9 years to see Gambit. And then that's the only time he throws a card. The rest of the time, he's...
The staff.
He has his staff, and he's climbing walls with his staff. Yeah. He's like fucking Spider-Man.
Right.
He's doing really bad wire work flips. He's... I don't know what the fuck... They just like totally changed his powers up. And I think they just fucked up Gambit. I'm not gonna hit Taylor Kitsch. It's the writing and the way that it was directed. They fucked up Gambit. Who I've been waiting for a while. He's a big fan favorite.
It's not like Taylor Kitsch. He's like, hey guys, you know, and he has his own take. It's not like, you know, he's there to get a job and get paid, and you know, not his fault that the movie people don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, you're right. I'm not so much hating on him, just what the movie did with Gambit. So, anyways, so they fuck Gambit up. Gambit gives him a direction. No, he flies him to this island where Danny Hughes, where Stryker. Is kidnapping mutants, copying their powers genetically or whatever to create, like, the ultimate super mutant, who he calls Deadpool.
Right.
Who is a comic book character. We already just talked about him, Ryan Reynolds. And at this point, he is Deadpool in name only.
Right.
He represents... He's got, like, the powers of everybody. He's got Cyclops' lasers. He's got Wolverine's healing.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the teleporting. He's got these... Okay, the blades. Can we talk about the arm blades?
Sure. I mean,
much like Wolverine, he's got these blades that come out of his forearm,
right,
through his knuckle. But these things are like a meter long, or 3 feet long.
Yeah.
Wolverine would say a meter. He's Canadian.
Yeah.
There's no way they would. Just the logistics of it.
Right.
Like, I hope you know what I'm talking about because I'm going to try and describe it. But if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? They come out of his forearm, but they're way too. The point is, Wolverine's claws, which are supposed to be maybe a foot long.
Yeah.
He keeps them in his forearms. Right. They pop out. They're a foot long. Okay, I'll buy that.
Right.
Deadpool's blades are like...
His katana. His swords.
Long. They're fucking... Yeah, they're swords.
Right.
If they were in his arms, he would never be able to bend his arms. Now, granted, I can't honestly say I remember him bending his arms any time in the movies. So if you really want to be apologetic about it, say, well, we never saw him bend his arms. Technically, he just walks around.
Well, then that's like, a bad design flaw.
He walks around like the little boy at Christmas Story. Like, I can't put my arms down. So there's that. And he doesn't talk. His mouth is literally stone shut.
Right.
But that's Deadpool's thing. Yeah. He talks. He's the mark with the mouth.
Wait, if only your mouth was shut, you'd be perfect.
Yeah. So, yeah, Fox, I guess, knows they screwed up Deadpool to the point they're going to give us the real Deadpool.
Right.
Ryan Reynolds is filming it as we speak.
Yeah.
From what little we've seen, it looks like it's going to be more...
It's coming out in February, I think, right?
Next year?
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks good. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's rated R. It looks like it's going to be with the Deadpool characters. We could do it. We could go on and on about who Deadpool is and how bad this movie fucked him up. But, they cut off his head and they get away. And, also, there's a bunch of mutants held hostage. A bunch of kids.
We already said that.
One of them is Cyclops.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll buy that. he could arguably be the right age.
Yeah, about 20. This is probably about 20 years before X-Men 1.
Yeah, so I guess that would make Cyclops be about 47 or 37, I should say. But a little Easter egg, I guess, in the movie is Cyclops. He's leading all the other hostage kids in an exodus. They're escaping the building because he's getting this psychic
hits. Right, because he can't see because they got his eyes.
He's like, turn left, turn around. And it turns out, hey, it's Xavier. It's Patrick Stewart using a little bit of that CGI de-aging.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that works so well in X-Men 3.
Yeah, so the movie's saying that is how he first recruited Cyclops.
Right.
And then they all get away. And Stryker gets his hands on some adamantium bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Double tap Wolverine, double tap to the head, and Wolverine has no memories anymore, and that is why he has amnesia in the rest of the franchise.
Right.
So this movie gave us what it promised. It gave us the origin of Wolverine. Mm-hmm. We see how he gets the claws. We see how he was born a mutant. We see how he gets the amnesia. I mean, you got what you asked for. And we get a little post-credit scene. Turns out Deadpool was never alive, but I doubt these movies will ever address that issue again.
Right, yeah.
So
that's Wolverine, or that's X-Men Origins Wolverine from 2009.
In a nutshell.
Yeah. It's not a great movie, but it's not terrible. I mean, they did what, like you said, they did what they promised. was Origin. What
but
else
they did
you want?
It terribly.
All right. So
you said you don't like Last Stand more. Last Stand is worse.
Right.
Okay. I think Last Stand's more watchable. than Wolverine Origins, because at least Last Stand has characters you like. You got Ian McKellen. You've got, you know, you've got more characters. I think it's more watchable than this one, because this one is all Hugh Jackman and Lynn Collins. All the scenes with him and Lynn Collins where she's telling him the Native American story of it's called the Wolverine and the oh my god, just the movie just came to a stop in all those scenes. I don't know. I find Last Stand to be more watchable, but it's equally bad.
Okay, well,
if that means anything,
it's all subjective to your viewing pleasure, I guess. But anyway, so that's the first little spin-off movie there. Now it's been a few years since X-Men 3, and we're finally going to get in 2011 the next X-Men movie, which we find is going to be a prequel. It's going to be called X-Men First Class.
The First Class, like Cyclops, Jean,
yeah, right?
Beast,
yeah.
Iceman, and Angel,
yeah. Absolutely,
well,
right?
Probably we get like one of those.
One out of five ain't bad.
We get Beast. Yeah, one out of five ain't bad.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing for the choice of characters selected for this. But let's start off real quick here. This was kind of a, besides a prequel, kind of a reboot for the franchise, would you say?
I guess that's fair to say.
A reboot, but still trying to tie in from the past.
I think that they meant to continue the franchise. Like, this was meant to be the first of a bunch of movies from jumping off from that time period.
Yeah.
I think. And then they decided to instead incorporate it with the previously existing franchise. They got cold feet and decided, we don't want to scrap everything we did.
Yeah.
Like, we like Hugh Jackman. We still got Hugh Jackman under contract.
Yeah.
We don't want to just get rid of him. And same with Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart, I guess.
And they'll come to play later on.
Yeah.
But in First Class was a whole new cast. It was directed by Matthew Vaughn,
who was going to do Last Stand. Yeah, we just said he was going to do Last Stand, and he didn't. He went off and did, I don't know what, Kick-Ass or something, probably.
Layered Cake or something like that, or
Layer Cake?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad. No, Layer Cake is earlier. That was one of his. Okay. I think that might have been his first
movie. That's what he's known for, I think.
Yeah, but he did Stardust. He's done some really good movies. I really enjoy Matthew. He just did The Kingsman. I haven't seen that yet, but his name makes me intrigued.
Now, the movie itself, like the presentation, everything, the movie in general, I like it. But it's when you start kind of like digging into this movie.
Yeah. I remember walking out liking it, and then I watched it two, three times.
And then you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. On the surface, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Just the music they use, the setting, the 60s, you know, it's got some good vibes to it.
Yeah. It's mostly anchored by two new lead actors playing Xavier and Magneto, James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender, respectively, who I think are both the two strongest things about this movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Is their performance, their relationship.
Yeah.
My favorite scene in the whole movie is not even an action sequence. It's when Xavier's trying to talk to Magneto about how to use his powers. And he sort of reaches in his mind, pulls out his happiest memory.
Mm-hmm.
And Magneto just starts crying because he's remembering him and his mom, you know, lighting the menorah or something like that.
Yeah.
And even Xavier starts crying because he saw that. He goes, I just channeled your happiest memory. It's a very beautiful memory, Eric. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me see that. And then Magneto's like, I didn't even know I had that in me. And then after that, his power, like, he learned that, what did he call it? Between rage and serenity. And
yeah.
I don't know. I think that's my favorite scene. And that's, it really shows that they were once friends. Because this movie kind of says this long friendship that we've always been hinting at. They've been friends for years. Turns out it took the place of, like, a spring break.
Yeah.
It's been like spring break together. They're friends for about a week before he goes off and becomes evil and shit like that. But like I said, their relationship is the strongest thing in the movie, and that's probably the strongest scene they have together.
I think so.
It's probably my favorite scene in the movie. Although Xavier does have another relationship, strong relationship in this movie with Mystique.
Because that was established a long time ago in the first movie.
This is where
the
movie's finally addressed.
Yeah.
That Xavier and Mystique are childhood friends who grew up together, who lived their whole lives together.
All right.
Which, no, that did not happen. We get Jennifer Lawrence.
Right.
Who's a very hot commodity at the time. I think, well, was this right before she broke out really big? I think Hunger Games just came out. Or she filmed Hunger Games, then she films this, then Hunger Games comes out, then this comes out.
I thought Hunger Games came out after this.
The first one?
I could be wrong, though, but
I think Hunger Games was first.
Okay, well, regardless.
Point is, she's just on the cusp of breaking out and becoming America's sweetheart and all that kind of stuff.
She's in two big franchises.
Yeah. So, whereas Mystique has always been a side character, just back, you know, behind the crowd. She's front and center. The character is in this movie.
Almost, I don't want to say love interest, but I mean, it's kind of
with Charles.
Not even so much, but just
he even says like when she's naked,
you're my sister. Yeah,
yeah. Like she decides to stop wearing clothes, and she's just standing there in the full Rebecca Romijn naked. He's like, "Whoa, where are your clothes?" He's looking at the floor. He doesn't even want to look at her naked. She's like a sister to him. They are such good friends that it never gets addressed in the franchise that they ever knew each other.
Addressed at all.
Yeah, I was really... Like, it's one thing to slightly tweak a character for the purposes, but to completely redo them and negate everything you've already done with them.
Like, maybe if he, like, caught her in passing or something, or they had a scene together at one point, maybe, but the fact that they lived together...
And grew up...
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense for her to become bad.
Right, yeah, yeah, exactly.
She lived a comfortable, cushy life in the light... She grew up in the mansion she never wanted for anything.
Right.
Why the hell is she so hell-bent on destroying humanity? You know, in the first movie, she's like, people like you were the reason I was scared to go to school as a child. Weren't you always looking like Jennifer Lawrence? Most people would kill to look like Jennifer Lawrence and live in a mansion.
Right.
Her life is not that hard. So, it doesn't explain her motivations, why she leaves Charles, who's laying crippled on the beach.
Yeah.
Her oldest friend, to go run off with the boy she just met. It's bad.
Who will end up leaving her?
Who will end up leaving her naked on the side of the road? Yeah, this movie is just like I said. When you re-examine it under scrutiny, this movie has got a lot of problems with it.
Yeah,
and I think we talked about continuity before. I think this is where they start committing the most sins.
Yeah,
not the least of which is what we just talked about with Mystique.
And when you do a prequel, you gotta think that they're more. You think they'd be more conscientious about what they're doing with the storyline in the timelines and everything else and the characters that they're portraying in this movie. Apparently they didn't.
No.
Yeah, especially with the Mystique thing. But we kind of joked about it a second ago about First Class. Oh, you mean Cyclops, Jean, all them.
Yeah.
No. This is what we got. We got Havoc. We got Beast. We got Angel. Not that Angel. Darwin and Banshee.
Yeah. that's right. you said them all at once. I'm like, where do I begin?
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with any of the actors and their roles. I mean, they're all okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't. I mean, yeah. Alex Summers. Anybody who's ever picked up an X-Men comic book knows he's the younger brother.
Younger brother
of Cyclops.
Yeah.
So if Cyclops is in high school in the '80s, then how is this kid like in his 20s in the '60s? And it's a lot of math. Look, it's all very technical, but... I did not remember Darwin from the books.
He was created later on. There was a little storyline called Genesis, and that was a little hidden story of actually the first X-Men crew before Professor X founded the Institute with Jean, Scott, all of them. And Darwin was part of that original crew. So, yeah, technically...
Well, that was not made clear to me.
Yeah.
So,
but technically, he would be part of the First Class.
So. Okay, well...
Like a lot of people don't know that, so it's...
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, Banshee, technically, he's a much older man. Things like that. He wasn't part of the original... Well...
He's part of the new
X-Men.
He's
part of the second class. That was, I don't need to get into the books about how he was introduced.
Yeah.
But we're also introduced to another character, a non-mutant. Or, I should say, reintroduced to the character of Moira MacTaggert.
Oh, yes.
Who was played by Olivia Williams, mm-hmm. doing the proper Scottish accent for the role.
Yeah.
In this movie, she's inexplicably an American CIA agent, as opposed to a Scottish geneticist.
Well, then, clearly her name wouldn't be Moira MacTaggert
but
anymore.
It is.
What?
It is Moira MacTaggert.
Wow, okay.
Agent, played by Rose Byrne, who's Australian. So we got Australian.
I like Rose Byrne, too.
But it's like, why do you get... I mean... This is some more of,
these are easy
of Americanizing.
Yeah.
Americanizing. We also get Emma Frost, played by Betty Draper herself, January Jones.
January Jones, yeah,
playing it as an American when we all know Emma Frost is as American as fish and as British as fish and chips. Fuck,
proper British,
proper.
Yeah,
and she's another great fan favorite who people really want to see Emma Frost. Well, technically, we got to see Emma Frost in Wolverine Origins.
We got to see Emma in
we got Origins. We got to see Emma, who has the ability to turn into diamonds. But the producers say, oh, but that isn't Emma Frost who turns into diamonds.
Yeah.
This is another Emma who turns into diamonds. Who's a teenager in the 80s, but is Betty Draper in the 60s. Again, like I said, this movie's all over the place.
We got Nicholas Hoult as Hank McCoy, Beast.
He was okay.
My one issue with him. We see the creation of him turning blue for the first time and all this other stuff. But when he puts the glasses on...
He just looks so cute. He looks stupid. Whoever approved the Beast makeup, this is a personal choice. Some people might say, I think he looks awesome. And I can't tell you he doesn't. It's an opinion. I thought he looked a little silly.
When he put the glasses on, definitely looks silly. It's like, come on.
Yeah, and it looked... I think he was very much ADR'd, because it looked like with all those prosthetic teeth, he couldn't talk a lot. So yeah. It looks like he's dubbed.
There was something wrong with his teeth. Yeah, I remember
I
that.
I think he had to dub his own performance. So, I mean, you buy Kelsey Grammer's voice coming out. Like, his performance, that I bought that. He looked good.
Yeah.
And he has the right cadence. He sounds like an educated man. I don't know if Kelsey Grammer's an educated man or not, but he sounds like it, so I'll buy that.
Right.
Nick Holt, okay. All they gave him was big feet. There's a little bit more to Hank McCoy than just
and
having big feet.
Yeah, and that's the big... They point that out every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked, for Alex Summers, Havoc, I liked the fact with his powers, they use the same color effect that they use for Cyclops. Because it's... I don't know if you cut that. I don't know.
I mean, it's red.
Yeah.
I guess so. I'll buy that.
A little connection there. But again, are they brothers? Or father-son now at this point?
Yeah, and then they address that he can't really control it without, like, the harness thing.
And kinda the harness thing was from the comics. I dug that. There's
little things here and there.
Yeah, it's like a give and take with this movie, you know?
And then like we said, Beast is in it. He works for the CIA, and he builds Cerebro.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he... So Beast builds it. They already said in part one... Magneto, he helped me build it. And,
yeah.
You know, I helped Charles build it, remember? I guess you didn't. Beast builds it. There's another continuity thing. Now, yeah. But the thing about it is, why would Beast build a giant teleporter amplifier when he's probably never met a telepathic right. amplifier when he's never met one in his life? Just in the off chance I ever happen to meet a guy with telepathic powers, I've got this machine ready to go. In the off chance I ever met a dude who could do that?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't defend that. I don't know.
That doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just a lot of, it's all over the place.
And Kevin Bacon.
Okay, yeah, we didn't talk. Yeah, okay, there's the bad guys. We talked about Emma. Yeah.
Sebastian Shaw.
Kevin Bacon, the Black King. Well, he wasn't the Black King.
Yeah, we get the Hellfire Club, which that's cool. I mean, it's a X-Men villain group that we never have seen before in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some flaws in it, of course, but hey, it is what it
is. I like Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
And I think he does a good job of just saying, just be evil. Okay. Now, the thing about all these movies, and I meant to say it from the very, very get-go, was it seems as if the writers or filmmakers were given a... one paragraph summary of these characters, and then given the go-ahead to go write this movie.
Yeah.
Like, they, like, explain to me what X-Men is in 1 minute's time. Okay, it's about people who are born as mutants. One guy, he's bald, he's a telepath. Another guy, he shoots red lasers out of his eyes. A girl, she's black, controls weather. And they were literally given this very rough outline to go off of, and they built the movie off of that. You know, the Marvel movies, you could tell these guys read the books, and they're trying to stay as true. I mean, you look at Captain America... You were talking about how the yellow spandex wouldn't play on screen, but look at what they did to Captain America and the Avengers. It didn't really play, but they gave it to us. They gave us the red, white, and blue.
Right.
You know, this is, you know, they're like, I don't know. The Marvel movies are respecting the fans.
Mm-hmm.
These ones, all the X-Men, Fox, I guess I should say 20th Century Fox is not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. No, there's...
Yeah. And that argument kind of goes for the entire franchise. Just as good a place as any to mention it now. I guess, okay, really quick, the plot, Kevin Bacon wants to start, the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yes, yeah.
Which is kind of fun.
Which, that was fun with him integrating, like, different...
History.
Yeah,
it's like he's got a Forrest Gump feel to it.
Yeah.
He's got the history we know, but it turns out it was actually for in this case, Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
You know, so he
six
wants...
Degrees
to,
Kevin Bacon. 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon
throughout history. Yeah. Yeah. So he wants to start the Cuban Missile Crisis because... Nuclear war radiation is what causes mutants. You know, we're children of the atom.
Yeah.
So he wants to create more mutants. Kind of like what Magneto does in part one. He wants to create more mutants, and the X-Men want to stop him. They want to stop
him. I think that's the first time in the movie verse that they actually said children of the atom. That was a big thing in the comics, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
So that's his plan, and the X-Men have to come together to stop them. And along the way, the X-Men, Charles and all the students, they hook up with Eric. But Eric's got his own agenda...
Revenge.
Because as a kid, Kevin Bacon killed his mother. The whole time, actually, we should say that Michael Fassbender's hunting Kevin Bacon across the globe, really.
Yeah.
He's in France. He goes to Argentina. He comes to America. He's all this stuff. To Florida. So he's tracking him down to kill him. And he only hooks up with Xavier until he gets to Kevin Bacon. Then he kills him.
Yeah.
And then he shows his true colors. And he decides, I'm going to go on my own mission of mutant superiority. He takes all of Kevin Bacon's leftover henchmen. Some of which... What's the dude who starts the hurricanes? The tornadoes?
Was it Riptide or...
Whirlwind or something. I don't even think he has a single fucking line.
He doesn't.
He doesn't. He's
well. Let's talk. Fuck him. Azazel. I think that's like.
Oh yeah. Jason Fleming.
Yeah.
As a red demon devil looking teleporter dude. He was fun.
Cool. I think they want an excuse to have Nightcrawler back on the team, but they
could get Nightcrawler. He is a little from just a moviegoer. You're like, didn't I just see this a few years ago with Nightcrawler? Yeah. He's exactly the same, but bad.
Yeah.
In the books, he's Nightcrawler's dad.
Right.
Which is cool. The movies never addressed it.
No.
Or the fact that Mystique is Nightcrawler's mom. Right. A little wasted opportunity in X-Men 2. They even share a scene together.
Yeah.
But they don't address it.
Maybe they thought it was too much backstory for what it was for that one character.
I think it was just enough backstory, but whatever. That's me. Yeah, whatever. They save the day.
Yeah.
Magneto goes off. This is where we see Xavier get crippled.
Right.
So apparently Xavier has hair when he got crippled.
Right.
But according to X-Men Part 3, and according to Wolverine Origins, he's Patrick Stewart, bald, but walking.
Yeah.
Okay. he decides he's going to start a school at the mansion. He's going to start the X-Men, I guess, with the first class. Okay, so I guess this movie, in their own way, delivers what they promised to.
In their own way.
Whatever. Again, I remember liking this in the theater. And I bought the
Blu-ray. It's when it becomes under scrutiny. That's when it comes. You break it down. Mm-hmm. You see the flaws and the continuity between this and the rest of the franchise. But just as is, as a movie, as a single movie, you don't take any other movie in consideration. You pop it in, watch the movie. It's not bad.
No, it's good.
Yeah.
Again, but like I said, we're really over scrutinizing because we've read the books.
Yeah.
And that's most of the sins this movie, or a lot of the sins that this movie commits is the continuity. It's erasing. I guess that's the point of a reboot, is to erase what the other movies have established.
We're not getting there yet. We're not getting there yet.
I'm jumping the gun. Okay, well, all right. Now's a good time as any to jump to the final.
Well, we have one little stop before the final movie here, but it's The Wolverine.
Oh, my God. I completely forgot about that movie. I was all ready to jump into the last one.
We won't spend too... This is going to be really quick here, but this came out in 2013. This was the second Wolverine standalone movie. But this was actually the first technical sequel to X-Men The Last Stand.
Chronologically,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
This takes place, I think, like 5 years after all that happens. So, after Jean Grey dies and he kills her and all this other stuff. But
he's all depressed. He fucking quit being Wolverine because his girlfriend died. He pulled a fucking Batman in The Dark Knight Rises.
He did.
He did. My girlfriend died. I'm just going to quit being a hero and just grow a beard. Bruce Wayne and
so the big selling point on this one is he goes over to Japan and that was because Japan for Wolverine in the comics, that's a big part of his history.
It's where he learned to be a samurai and
and they introduce a lot of characters,
although that's not why he goes over.
Silver Samurai, there's a lot of different
Because that's a villain all the fans were clamoring to see on screen.
Not necessarily, but it was a Wolverine villain.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so they all have to be good, but it is from the comics. So, but the big thing on this one, I think, it actually towards the end of the movie, it actually sets up where we're going for the final.
That was one scene. That was like a mid-credit scene.
Like I said, it sets it up.
But I mean, you can't say the whole movie was decent because of that mid-credit scene. The movie itself was. I mean, you're saying the movie could have been a big piece of... It could have been a piece of shit on screen for an hour and a half, but then mid-credits, they show us the setup, and you're happy.
Okay, well, if I said that, I didn't mean it like that. But it's just... there was... The whole plot thing on that was he loses his powers for halfway through the movie.
Yeah, I don't understand why. Like, the woman injects a little bug into him, and he loses his...
He becomes mortal.
He loses his healing. Which was really boring to me. I mean, it's like, you remember Superman 2 when he gives up his powers to be with Lois Lane, and then we see Clark Kent as a mortal getting his ass kicked at the bar.
Oh, you mean the lame stuff?
Yeah, it was boring. And imagine a whole movie of that. I don't want to see Wolverine getting shot and going, falling down.
I was confused on that because he lost his power, but he kept getting shot. But he wasn't dying.
I guess it wasn't completely gone. But it was like it got slowed down to a crawl. But I don't want to. I want to see Wolverine just taking a bullet like a Terminator and just brushing it off like nothing else.
Yeah.
Not. Oh, I'm hit. It was just. It was pretty boring. That whole. It's like a good chunk of the middle of the movie.
Where
he's like depowered, and he and his girlfriend are off eating Chinese food or something. It's just the movie doesn't go anywhere for a long time.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you're right. And at the very end, they smash his claws off, and he gets the bone claws back, and they try to. Take some. It's a weird convoluted thing, but
he wants to steal his immortality by sucking the bone marrow from his claws. Or
yeah, it's. It
I guess
is
that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, but that's pretty much it. But yeah, like I was saying before, mid credit scene, I think.
Yeah, it sets up.
He's in an airport.
Yeah, and then we get two big reveals. Yeah. That Magneto's got his powers back, and then Xavier's alive.
Yeah,
and he's like an evil. Come in or something like that. And we see a little commercial on TV for Trask Industries.
Yeah.
Building robots or something. So we're like, okay, ooh, I think I know where they're heading with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then we jump forward to now to the latest one.
Right, yeah. Which is X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
So,
I think this one was received very well.
I think so. There was a lot of fan service, I guess, for this movie. I mean, there are a lot of characters that people wanted to see, I think. Bishop, I know Bishop was like a big one that people wanted to see.
Yeah, but what did they do with him?
Well, they got his powers. Well,
no, they didn't. they kill him by shooting him with lasers, which is literally the one thing that makes him stronger.
You could fight for that. And say it was like too much. Like
By the way, like I don't know. Do you want to walk through the plot of this one? Or
okay, because it is kind of important because this is the turning point for what we're going for. Future of the franchise, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's a re. This is definitely a reboot.
Yeah, so this takes place years from now, 2023, I believe, and it's they need to go back in time.
Dun, right? Dun, 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 dun. Okay, yeah.
And stop
Mystique from murdering Tyrion Lannister.
Yeah, him.
Okay, because he's going to build robots that like take over the world like Skynet,
which
killing everybody.
And this is the future they're in. Everybody's being attacked by these giant sentinels. They're trying
There's a post-apocalyptic future. Yeah. And there's some good action set pieces that take place in the future particularly.
Probably some of the best in the franchise, I think.
Yeah, but they get negated by the fact that they erase the fact that they happened. Because like, the movie starts out with a really cool future set piece where everybody dies. Colossus gets killed, Iceman gets killed, Blink gets killed, all these characters die, and you're like, oh my god. And then in that same scene, they go back in the past, and that gets erased, because Ellen Page's character, I don't think we talked about her in part 3, but she joined the franchise in part 3 as Kitty Pryde, as Shadowcat, who has the power to walk through walls.
Right, which is very important in this movie.
Yeah. But in this movie, she now has the power to send people mentally back in time.
Well, yeah, that's because, well, no, I can't. I can't defend that.
No, it doesn't make any sense. It's just...
It's not explained in the movie either. She says, hey, Kitty, come over here. Start doing your thing.
Like,
what?
She just says, like, I can do this now. And that's what she does.
Yeah.
So she sends Wolverine back to the 60s?
70s. 75, I think. 71. Something like that. Yeah. It's in the 70s.
So this becomes another Wolverine movie.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not to nitpick, but in the books, it's actually she who goes back.
Yeah.
Because she's the youngest of the X-Men.
Catherine Pryde goes back.
Yes. And in the future, she's married to Colossus. Right. There's only a small group of resistance. In fact, it's been a while since I've read the book. It's her and Colossus and Magneto, who's in a wheelchair, and Storm, and then Rachel Summers, who's married to Franklin Richards.
Right, yes.
Son of the Fantastic Four.
Right.
And that's it. And it's Rachel Summers, who is a telepath, and... Okay, a telepath who can send a person's consciousness back. It's still a leap, but at least it makes sense that it's a person with mental powers who does this. Not
if it's anything, have Professor X be the one to do that. Like, if only we had someone with mental powers that could help us with this problem.
Patrick Stewart's like, I'm not going to be standing with my hands next to Hugh Jackman for 2 hours. I'm here to act. So, yeah, so get her to do it. She does nothing. So we send Hugh Jackman back again. And I love that there's a line where Kitty Pryde says, well, you don't age, so you'll look pretty much the way you do now. Well, thank you for explaining that, because I wouldn't have understood it. But thank you for that, Kitty Pryde. So he goes back to the past, and then we meet all the first class people.
Right.
We run into Michael Fassbender, to Young Beast, to Jennifer Lawrence, all these guys again.
I mean,
so this is a way to tie in the two franchises.
And this is kind of fun because we're starting off with Ian McKellen and all these other, the original cast members. And then, like I said, come back. Now we have first class. It's kind of fun to see both cast members in the same movie.
Yeah, I guess. And,
it was for me anyways. I don't know.
No, I mean, yeah, you're right. Then the movie is mostly Wolverine in the past. They're tracking down Mystique to try and save the future. It's a story, you know, we've seen this story before.
Yeah.
Along the way, a big scene, probably the one of the favorite scenes of this whole movie that people just can't stop talking about, was the Quicksilver scene.
Yes. Yeah. That's...
Yeah. He's a speedster who has... You know what we're talking about. It's a scene where he runs around the room and he...
Everything's in slow motion. He's kind of moving all the different objects and causing havoc.
Everybody loves it. They think it's awesome. And it was. It was cool.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Until you stop and think about it.
I mean, is that what you did? Did you stop and think about it?
Yeah.
Okay, so what did you think about it?
Well, okay, first off, and this has always bugged me, but before he jumps into his super speed thingy, he puts on his old-timey headphones, a Walkman. I think it's probably a tape player.
Mm-hmm.
When in the reality, the whole scene goes down in like a second. So right. why are you going to listen to your Walkman? There's no way he can hear the music if he's moving that fast. But okay, whatever.
We get it that
cinematically
like,
it adds to the scene.
Yeah, yeah.
So as long as you don't think too hard, I'll buy that. And again, it looks... But I mean, if he's... I don't think Quicksilver is that fast. That's like the Flash.
Well, he's the equivalent. I mean...
No, he's not. Quicksilver doesn't... Well, he's changed a lot through the books.
Right.
And it sounds like I'm going to start getting nitpicky mode, but... But in the reality of this universe, of this movie, if he is able to do that, why don't they let him do everything? You know? That's like, hey, I know a guy named Superman, and you have him help you in one thing. Thanks, Superman, for all your help. Now we're going to go do something. Like, why didn't you bring him along? He's more powerful than all y'all. So I don't know why they leave him at home, because he's a minor, or they don't want him to...
Yeah, they never explain
because
that.
Then there'd be no movie.
Yeah.
He would have fixed everything.
Like, literally, at the end of the scene, they're like, okay, go get Mystique.
Yeah.
And then movie's over.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And then there's a big climax. There's, like, two climaxes happening at the same time. There's the future war.
Coincidentally.
Yeah. And then, the two timelines moving at the same time. Whatever. So you've got the big climax in the 70s with Magneto and the White House, and he's lifting the baseball stadium. And then you got the future one with the Sentinels, who are pretty badass.
Oh, yeah.
Killing everybody. And the future one is pretty interesting. It almost... makes you annoyed every time they cut back to the 70s plot with the clunky Sentinels and Beast, and you're like, I know, this is cool, but can we get back to that future one? It gets you bummed out to see the actual climax of the film, because they keep teasing you with this future one, which is better.
Right, yeah.
So there's that. It was. We should also say Bryan Singer came back to the franchise.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we didn't.
Yeah, so Bryan Singer came back and rebooted what he started.
Yeah.
Comes full circle. It's a good climax, and it's an entertaining movie, but I don't know. I guess after 2 hours of nitpicking, I'm kind of on a roll here.
Well, and this is, history is altered. We have a new timeline.
Yes, there's an epilogue, I guess you'd call it, where everybody's, Scott's alive, Jean's alive, Professor's alive. Rogue is still a mutant, did they say or not?
I'm not sure.
I think we see her in gloves.
Yeah.
We don't know if Wolverine's got his adamantium back.
No, we don't know. Well, he wouldn't be affected by... I don't know. It's...
So all in all, at the end of the day, this is... A lot of people would say it's the best one yet. I think. Most people, I think maybe because it's the latest one.
Maybe.
And it's the one that's fresh in people's minds that they're talking about.
Yeah.
It was like, it's almost like a little version of the Avengers. Like, we've seen these characters in this movie, and you've seen these characters in this movie. Now they're together in the same movie, you know? It's kind of like that.
I enjoyed...
You think they were taking a page out of Marvel and trying to create their own little Avengers within their own universe?
Maybe. I think they knew they had a good opportunity with a time travel movie to have both cast in the same movie.
Because like I said, First Class was supposed to be a jumping off point, but then they decided... to not completely abandon what they had already established, but instead combine them.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe they thought, oh my god, like, look how people responded to seeing Tony Stark and Thor in the same movie together.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And
I'm
there's
not,
that
I'm
one
not presuming to know what they were thinking.
There was that one scene with James McAvoy with Patrick Stewart.
Which was in all the trailers.
Yeah.
Like people were getting confused. Like, are we going to see them in the same? It's all in his head.
Right,
but, you know. it was getting people talking.
Right.
Oh my god, that is literally the epitome of combining the two franchises in that frame.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now moving forward, I believe that ties up the little bow on the original cast of the past movies.
Yeah.
And now
And
now it's just the first class team, pretty much.
Well, okay, yeah.
Well, I mean, they could. I mean, if they want to go current, I mean, they still have James Marsden and all them, but they're not going to do that. They're going to stay younger, I think.
Yes. Well, okay. Well, so who's been committed to the? Because there's a new one on the being made right now. Apocalypse.
Yeah, that was a little tease at the end of
post credit scene. Yeah. We see a blue man building not the Blue Man Group, but he's building a pyramid. And you're like, what? And this is where anybody in the theater who gasped at that read the comics, and everybody else probably went home and Wikipedia'd what the hell was going on. Which is obviously hinting at Apocalypse. And you see some people on horses, you're like, ooh, four horsemen. This is kind of cool. And it's Apocalypse. He's like 5,000 years old. He's born in Egypt.
Yeah, a lot of people got. I heard like some backlash on that. Like, oh, Apocalypse, little kid. I thought he was this big. No, he started off.
Well, he wasn't born a giant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
With space age. Future alien armor, whatever. I don't know how they're going to handle that.
Yeah. Which, you know what? I'm still intrigued.
I'm intrigued. Yeah. They've cast Oscar Isaac as Apocalypse, which I haven't seen how he's going to look. That's going to be a big part of what I think of it.
Yeah.
But I think he's a really good actor. And this guy's blowing up. He's also going to be in the new Star Wars. So, this guy's... Get ready to learn his name.
Right, yeah, no kidding, right?
Yeah. But he's a really good actor. He was inside Llewyn Davis. He was in... Sucker Punch, a lot of other cool stuff.
There's of course, been leaked information, things like that, casting news, setting things about, Apocalypse, the movie itself. It is going to take place in the 80s, so it's going to have a big 80s vibe to it.
Yeah, I've seen some cast members have tweeted, and then...
Bryan Singer, he's been tweeting out a lot of stuff, too. That's
Who tweeted that picture of the new Jean Grey?
I think that was Bryan Singer.
Jubilee.
He does a lot of stuff like that.
Okay. Because we've seen, Sophie Turner, mostly known as Sansa Stark from Game of Thrones, has been cast as the new Jean Grey.
Right. Mm-hmm. It still says Jennifer Lawrence is going to be Raven still, let's see. Rose Byrne as McTaggart. Nicholas Hoult's going to be back as Beast. Fassbender does have, they're still saying he's going to be there as Magneto. Evan Peters is back as Quicksilver. Now some new characters. Olivia Munn, she's going to be in as Psylocke.
I can see that. I would imagine her being younger, I think.
Shouldn't
she be around the same age as these kids? Olivia Munn's probably...
Have you learned nothing from these masks?
Well, you know.
I'm curious to see how they're going to play with her. James McAvoy, of course, he's going to be back. But that's kind of where we're at right now. You know, Bryan Singer's back directing this one again as well, too. So,
So is Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
He's.
But he did say that this was going to be his last one.
Yeah, they probably have a contract for X amount of movies. X amount of movies.
Well, this one, or was this one his last one, or Wolverine 3?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, one of these, he's down to the wire on playing Wolverine.
Yeah.
So, I wonder what they're going to do after that. That's going to be interesting to see.
Reboot Wolverine with a younger man? They can't just shelve the character.
Oh, no, they're not.
People love the character
too
much.
That's money, yeah. But it's be interesting to see what they're going to have to do. Let's put it like that.
Yeah, I think they should just start from scratch. New characters, new timeline, tweak things. I can't believe I'm about to say this, but do like Amazing Spider-Man. We know the character. Keep this, there's still Mary Jane, there's still Aunt May, there's still Peter Parker, but just start from scratch and make it clear that this is not the same universe as that one,
Well, I'm interested to see what Apocalypse, the vibe of that one's going to be with the actual X-Men group as itself, because this is going to be the first time that this is going to be after they pretty much essentially wiped out the original timeline from Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
So this will be interesting going forward, I think.
If you've read the Days of Future Past book, they kind of screwed it up, but they kind of just... It's Days of Future Past in name only.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that this is an Age of Apocalypse in name only.
Yeah.
Not that what they did with Days of Future Past wasn't interesting... You know, the cartoon show, Wolverine and the X-Men, that whole cartoon could be really just, it could have been, it's their version.
That's a 26 episode
cartoon series
of Days of Future Past.
Yeah. They strayed as far from the book as this movie does. But for some reason, I don't know why I'm not hitting them on it.
My only gripe about that one is it ended on a cliffhanger, and they didn't get renewed for another season.
Yeah, when you think about it, they kind of do what this movie does. They have two, like a future timeline and a past timeline, moving at the same pace, exact time.
Yeah,
somebody's from the future is communicating to the past, saying if you change in the past, it will affect my present.
Yeah,
it resembles the movie more than it does the actual comic.
Yeah, I love that cartoon.
I like that cartoon too.
And I think it's still on Netflix. So if anybody's listening and hasn't checked it out yet, go find it. It's out on DVD, Blu-ray. It's on Netflix. You can find it. It's pretty good, accessible. Cartoon. Yeah. But yeah, definitely. The animation is really good. The writing's really good. The voice acting is really good. The story is really good. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Just don't get upset at the ending with the cliffhanger.
Turn it off 5 minutes before the series ends. You'll be fine.
So with that, I mean, that's the whole franchise. And we covered a lot.
Like 7-8 movies?
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to what's going to come out next. Do you have any, I mean, what anticipation for the next movie?
I mean, I'm going to see it.
Yeah.
It's an X-Men movie. They've got my $10.
Right.
I'm going to see it. And then I'll voice. Yes, I'm apprehensive because, you know, these movies stray further and further rather than Marvel movies, which started to get more and more closer.
Mm-hmm.
These ones are just getting further and further. So, and Marvel seems to be being more and more successful. Yeah. Maybe they should take a page and be, dude, the closer Marvel gets to the books, the more the fans are seeming to like it.
Take a page from Sony. You know, what they're doing with Spider-Man.
Loaning their characters to let them be in the...
Work some kind of deal with that out. I don't see why that's an issue.
Yeah, put Magneto in Avengers since Scarlet Witch is in the Avengers movie. Put Magneto in there.
Yeah,
even if it's just one scene, she references... Well, they've already established her powers are like magic.
Yeah.
So
they're miracles, aren't
they? There's no such thing as there's no such thing as mutants in the Avengers world. So maybe they can't do that, but they can do something cool.
Can't Marvel just buy out Sony or Fox or whatever? That's what it is. Just buy out Fox. Like they can't afford it. Anyway, but I think that's gonna wrap up this episode.
I think so.
I'm kind of exhausted.
Yeah, that was a long one.
But if you're still with us, thank you so much for tuning in. If you have a favorite X-Men movie or something that you want to contribute, again, let us know. Chime in. Let us know through our email address. We have popculturerewind@gmail.com. Send messages. facebook.com/popculturerewind. Also, you know, share us on iTunes, Stitcher, also our website, popculturerewind.podbean.com. So anything else, just let us know how we're doing. You know, we're always open to
much appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely. But until then, always remember to pop your culture. Hey folks, me and Xavier back again one more time here. We just finished up this episode. We recorded this episode maybe a few weeks ago before all the
Before Comic-Con, really.
Yeah, before Comic-Con. Yeah, it was recorded before Comic-Con. And after Comic-Con, they released all these new photos and news and tidbits and everything about Apocalypse. I know we just talked about Apocalypse on the episode, but I figured, hey, why don't we just throw this in here?
We probably sound like really ignorant bastards only 2 minutes ago. Like,
right?
What is this movie about again? Well, okay.
It's all about editing.
Yeah.
Editing, my friend. Editing, yes. So there's two... movies that are coming out. We're going to get to both of them here in just a second. But this one, X-Men Apocalypse. Everybody knows by now all the images has come out on, I think it's Entertainment Weekly, with Apocalypse, Magneto, and Olivia Munn as Psylocke.
On the cover, yeah.
Yeah, on the cover.
We're looking at it right now in front of us.
So do you have any initial thoughts of what you're seeing with these the actual images of the costumes?
Well, the words here on the cover of Entertainment Weekly say, "And the most sinister villain yet." Entertainment Weekly obviously is not X-Men nerds, because you don't throw the word sinister around. But I'm talking really nerdy. Okay, I just wanted to say that really quick. I'm reading it right now. Like, oh, is Mr. Sinister a villain? Entertainment editor's who?
Sinister's not a villain, and they put that on there?
Yeah. Okay, let's just start with Apocalypse himself. Oscar Isaac, we finally got a look at him as Apocalypse. I think I said a few weeks ago, I said I was on board. Mm-hmm. I like Oscar Isaac. That's hard to say. I like Oscar Isaac as an actor. I think he's a great actor. He's one of those guys, and every movie he's in, you're like, what's that guy up to? But I'm looking at this makeup job.
He's a new guy for me. Honestly, I haven't seen his past work.
He's been he was in fucking Sucker Punch. He was like the bad guy in that movie. He was like the pimp dude who was running the show.
Paying attention to that movie.
He was in Drive. He was in Ex Machina.
I need to check that one out too.
That's a whole other thing.
Ex Machina.
I think it's Machina.
I think it's Machina.
So Oscar Isaac as Apocalypse as this blue guy.
Is it blue or purple?
That's been a
is it
some dress, debate.
Is the dress blue or white or whatever?
On the cover he looks blue. Mm-hmm. Either way, regardless, I think he looks kind of stupid.
Yeah, and I just hate to say it. And you know what? I'll throw it out because everybody on the internet says that he looks like Ivan Ooze from Power Rangers. That's what everybody
he kind of does.
Oh, you haven't heard that yet? Oh,
no, I haven't. I haven't really been reading about that. I just thought he looked stupid.
Yeah.
Yo, shit, dude. Look at him. He fucking looks like Ivan Ooze.
Welcome to the internet, buddy.
Wow. I'm not big on the worldwide. Wait, okay, internet. That's the one with the email, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good.
The AOL and you got mail. Yeah, that thing, yeah.
No, I'm going to say it. I would rather they have made him a CGI character.
Thanos.
Thank you. Some characters, Hulk, Thanos, maybe even the Thing, I haven't seen it yet, but some characters need to be CGI. You just can't put makeup on a guy. Look, they tried to do that with a Thing and it looks stupid. Lou Ferrigno, he looks stupid.
I'm going to say this right now. If this is Marvel Studios, this would not be a thing right now.
No, dude. The thing about Apocalypse is if you know the comic book character, he doesn't look like a human being.
Right.
With blue skin. His jaw, he does not look human.
Yeah.
He looks like an alien or some shit.
Yeah.
He's got a crazy jaw.
He's got the mouth thing with the blue lines on his face.
Well, the thing is, you could have done the blue lines with makeup.
Right.
But it's the shape of his jaw. He's got like a rowdy, wide jaw like Thanos. And they decided to fucking make him CGI. He should have been a CGI character. He looks silly. He looks like a guy in blue makeup. And I can't even tell this Oscar Isaac. I haven't seen his performance yet.
Right.
Maybe when he talks and he moves and all that, it'll be like, whoa, this guy's
nuts. Yeah, it's one of the things where we're seeing pictures right now. And, you know, like we just said, you know, the front of the, you know, one picture, he looks purple like he, you know, and one is just he looks blue, like more the comic book.
And plus, the suit and his, like, he doesn't have the blue mouth, lips thingy.
It's the same, yeah.
And he's supposed to be gray, and he's supposed to have, like, cables coming from his... He's supposed to be fucking Apocalypse. I'm sorry. That is not Apocalypse. That is not the image we know from the comic.
Right.
Now, Psylocke, on the other hand.
Psylocke was ripped right out of the fucking
comic. Yeah. We're looking at it right now. That, from the leg bands, which serve no purpose.
No, they don't.
Even in the comic, I always thought, why does she just have a random band around her leg? It looks hot.
Because Elektra did it? I don't know.
The hand. Is that a thing with the hand?
Maybe. I don't know. But she's not part of the hand, though.
She was trained by the hand, was she?
Was she?
She's got connections to the hand.
Does she? Well, who doesn't? Who doesn't, right?
She's got connections to my hand. When I... you know what? There was a joke in there somewhere.
High five?
I didn't... I meant. Yeah. I was talking about... Anyway. There was a joke in there somewhere. I didn't really flesh it out too much, but...
Now, I love the look of Psylocke in this, obviously, because it is... we just said it's straight out of the comics. Purple hair, blue suit, jumpsuit.
Red sash.
Yeah, the red sash. And she looks hot in the costume. I'm sorry. You know, a lot of people are shitting all over Olivia Munn. I'm not a big fan of her myself.
They are? Why?
No one seems to like Olivia Munn. I don't know.
As an actress?
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
She's okay.
I don't know. She's...
You ever watched Newsroom?
Yeah, I kind of liked her in that
one. She's good in that, yeah.
But,
I've seen her in, like, interviews and stuff, and she seems like a cool... Like, she's got some clever wit about her. She seems cool. I got no problem with her.
I was, you know, I of course, I'm sure a lot of people know from Attack of the Show on G4.
I never watched that.
Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's where she got her nerd cred from, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm using air quotes there. But I just don't know if she's really a nerd or if she was just trying to get, you know. Like you said, the pretty ones, they're never really nerds.
Yeah. No fucking, I'm sure. I doubt Sarah Jean Underwood was really reading comics.
Unless they want to prove it's wrong, ladies, you're more than welcome to come up.
Yeah, coming over and read my comic book collection. Also, we also got an image finally of Storm.
Mohawk Storm. I kind of dig that.
Mohawk Storm?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Again, coming from the comics. You know, that was a look that she had in the comics. So.
Yeah. Totally. Mohawk Storm. I think I might have commented. I think I already said this. I won't beat that horse again. But. Mohawk Storm. That's all we got to say. Is she's got the Mohawk look,
yeah, what else
which
can you
is
say?
Cool.
It's not Halle Berry. I don't know what else you can say about it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a plus. They could have cast anybody and say it's not Holly Berry and be like, okay, I'm on board.
Right. All right, so
they could cast Howard Stern as Storm, and I'd be like, well, it's not Holly Berry. Yeah, you got a point.
One of the other images there of Michael Fassbender as Magneto. It's kind of more the same from what we see.
More the same, yeah. Now, my only issue is not even with Michael Fassbender. I love Michael Fassbender. I love Michael Fassbender as Magneto. But, like, do we need Magneto in every single X-Men movie?
Mm-hmm.
Why is he always the villain? X-Men have a lot of villains, and they're finally branching out and expanding their villain universe.
Right.
And you're still going to shoehorn Magneto into it.
Yeah.
You know, give the other villains a chance. There's so many, you know, like Apocalypse and Sinister and a lot of other ones. I just, after like the first three movies, I was like, by X-Men Part 3, like at that time, we had Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3. And it was like every movie was more villains. We're expanding the universe. But with X-Men, it was like more Magneto.
Yeah. And I think, you know, they did mention the Four Horsemen. They were going to be there with Apocalypse. And I think from what I've seen from some pictures, it's Psylocke in Storm.
I think Magneto was supposed
Magneto is one of them. And I think Angel / Archangel is going to be there.
I would hope he's the fourth one.
Yeah, I would hope so, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be kind of stupid if he didn't do that. But yeah, it is Fox. There's some more images here.
Well, I think we know Fox knows how to make a successful comic book movie.
Right?
Yeah. Right?
Because I know Fantastic Four is eating it up right now in the ratings. It's got a 9 on Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't know. It has the rest of the weekend. Maybe it'll pull a miracle.
Yeah.
Maybe every print of Mission Impossible 5 will catch fire and nobody will be able to see it.
All I know is, you know, Josh Trank, it's not his fault, right?
Yeah. No, it's not his fault at all. It's all 20th Century Fox.
Yeah.
He's totally innocent.
Because he told us that on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. This fucking guy. All right.
Okay, then we have Jennifer Lawrence being Jennifer Lawrence and not Mystique.
Yeah, it's funny that, you know, when Rebecca Romijn was Mystique, she spent all of her time in Mystique makeup.
Right.
But when you cast Oscar winner Jennifer Lawrence, she, for some reason, just decides she wants to be human all the time.
Yeah.
Wasn't like a thing that she says, you know, like, why don't you look like a regular person all the time, Nightcrawler says to her.
Right.
Because we shouldn't have to.
Right.
Yet, when you got Jennifer Lawrence, who hates the makeup, by the way.
Hey, that was a different timeline. That didn't matter. That didn't count. Yeah.
But I hear Jennifer Lawrence actually hates the makeup, and she's saying that's why she's not continuing. Because this is like her last one.
Right. Well, you remember the last one, it was a jumpsuit. It wasn't even like the...
I know, and she still ain't got time for that.
Yeah. But she's getting paid.
She's getting paid pretty good. But, you know, she's, you know, whatever. She's got other things she can be doing.
Yeah. Speaking of other things, we just talked about this one. Let's talk about another movie that the official trailer just finally hit. Mm. In all its red band glory. Deadpool. Starring Ryan Reynolds.
As Deadpool.
Right?
Okay, what'd you think of the trailer?
I loved it.
You loved it?
Yeah, it was okay. Nice. Yeah, it was... you know, to be honest, I know Deadpool. I'm not a big good Deadpool comics reader, so I don't know the in and outs of his comics in general. But just from what I saw, the humor in that trailer, just with him, you know, throwing out some of the gags, some of the lines. Don't make my suit green or animated.
I thought that the okay, there you go. I thought the jokes were just a little too Ryan Reynolds. I mean,
you're used to his humor.
Like, yeah, and it's like, well, they weren't the most catchiest of. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to put my. I mean, yes, it was good, and yes, I'm on board, and I love that it's rated R. And mm-hmm. To be honest, that's the biggest selling point for me is that it's actually rated R.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last rated R comic book movie we had. It might have been Blade.
Kick-Ass.
Okay, thank you. Well, between Marvel or DC, like mainstream.
Oh, mainstream Marvel, DC.
Because cool, then you got Dread, if you want to get technical.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, yeah, clearly a comic book movie.
Blade.
I think Blade might have been the last one, which was arguably the first one of this whole renaissance.
It's all come full circle.
Yeah, kind of, right? Yeah, it kind of has. We're finally back to where we started. Kink song.
Actually, some of the other stuff, you know, that I liked about it was, you know, this goes some of the footage in this trailer was used to get the movie funded in the first place.
And I kind of didn't like that they threw that in because I was like, well, we've seen this already.
That whole scene
in the car where he's sitting on the bridge and he's like, all that we've seen this before. That's what got this whole ball rolling.
Yeah.
So give me something fresh.
Well, I don't know. I like the fact that was actually kept in the movie, or for the most part, you know.
Well, I mean, I could have enjoyed that fact. in the theater.
In the movie, yeah, yeah.
It's like, is that all you got? Is the same, you're rehashing the
same?
Well,
I mean, in the credit, to their credit, that wasn't an actual trailer or anything to the mass audiences. That was just, if you knew about it, you could find it. This is actually an official trailer.
But you and I aren't mass audiences. We're the people who watched that trailer and ate it up, right, about a year ago.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so you're asking me what I thought of it, not what do you think the masses would have thought of it. I'm starting to get all defensive there. I'm psyched, but I'm still keeping it a little contained, my enthusiasm. I'm not, like you said, you loved it, you were so on board. I'm on board with you, you know, but I still got my foot, like, on land. I got a life vest on. I'm still ready. I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Gotcha.
If that makes sense. Oh, but one thing I want to mention, is Colossus in this?
That's what we're talking about right now, because this is tied into the whole X-Men universe. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, Colossus is in this movie. There you go.
There you go, Colossus is in this.
No, I mean, what'd you think about that scene?
I love the look of Colossus.
Yeah.
With those lines. We're talking about out of the comic book.
Yeah.
That is fucking Colossus, right, out of the comic, right, book.
Yeah.
When we first saw him in, like, 2003... in that 1 2-second scene in X-Men 2, X-Men United, where he puts on the metal and he chunks those dudes through the wall. That was maybe my favorite part of the whole movie.
Oh, yeah.
But he looked kind of Green Lantern-ish. Like, you saw muscle tone in the metal and all that kind of stuff. But if you read the comic books, you know that he's got, like, a lot of lines.
Right.
Through him. And it doesn't make sense why he has lines on him, but that's just what it looks like in the comic books. And this movie decides the comic book has lines on him, so we're going to give him lines. With that crew cut haircut, the metal crew cut. Yeah, dude, he just looks spot out of the comic. And even Deadpool, dude. With the white eyeballs, like in the comic, but that's what everybody with a domino mask. Batman just has white eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has pupil, you know.
And for a movie to do that.
Yeah, because that doesn't translate well to film. You have to give Batman pupils.
Well,
we're
proving that the other way around.
You have to give Robin pupils. This movie says, no, fuck that. We're going to do it exactly like the comic book and give him just white dots for eyes. Looks exactly like the fucking comic book. So, for that, I'm psyched. For the red band, for the R-rated, I'm psyched. For Colossus, I'm psyched. I just don't know if Ryan Reynolds' humor, after 15 years of getting Ryan Reynolds jokes, if I want to see those jokes repackaged as Deadpool jokes.
I was listening to another podcast. I can't remember which one it was, but they were saying an argument against this was a Deadpool, like 2 hours of Deadpool.
It might wear a little
thing. Yeah.
It's like the Hulk. He works good as a supporting character.
Like,
in
Deadpool
doses.
Should have been. What this character we're seeing should have been in X-Men Apocalypse. Like, he should just be like.
Well, but then his humor. Like, is he going to be breaking the fourth wall in this? Is he going to literally be talking to the audience in this?
I think so. In Deadpool.
But he couldn't be doing that in an X-Men movie.
Though. Right.
So you couldn't, like, fully Deadpool. Yeah. Like, Deadpool was arguably the best thing about Wolverine Origins, the beginning, the first half, with Ryan Reynolds, not when he shows up at the end when he's bald with his mouth sewn. But the beginning, that was fun. And that's what got people like, Ryan Reynolds is the perfect Deadpool. I would have liked him with a mask and shit like that, but he was funny and he was killing people and, you know. So, yeah, in small doses, Deadpool works. Maybe he'll work in a big dose. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. When does this drop? Do you remember?
February.
Oh, good Valentine's Day movie.
There you go. but yeah, that's why. As much as I like the trailer, the movie itself, I'm optimistic for it. I want it to succeed because this was a movie that got made because of the fans.
For the fans.
Yeah, maybe by fans for the fans or whatever they call it. But you know, if this movie doesn't do good,
this is the FUBU of movies. If you remember those,
the
jeans.
If this movie doesn't do good, that'll give justification for the studio to say, "Okay, well, we gave you a little movie, you didn't do
shit." You're right. You're right, dude. There's like a lot riding on this.
We're never gonna see white pupils again or white eyes again.
but flip side, if this does good. Does that mean we'll get a lot more rated R comic book movies?
Or will they
start taking more chances? Or
maybe more direct adaptations to the big screen from the comic books? Because they're taking a lot of...
Like, we were just talking about X-Men. X-Men's now starting to go more from literally from page to screen.
Yeah.
When 15 years ago, they were literally trying to avoid that.
Yeah, they're trying to make their own thing. And
yeah, like fucking giving them the black costumes and not looking, no Wolverine mask. You know, I think it was a deleted scene in one of those movies where Wolverine sees his costume.
You know what? I still defend that. Let's give it a shot. I want to see it. At least give it a shot.
gosh. I don't know. Particularly Wolverine with the big wing things at the head. I don't think it translates well.
We just talked about Deadpool in the White Eyes.
But Deadpool's mask is tactical because it's just basically a ski mask.
Yeah.
But Wolverine has these big, big flamboyant.
Don't go 90s animated series. No. Go like
what?
Astonishing X-Men where it was very kind of. It was very small. He didn't have big sides. Like, we're getting off part.
I'd rather say, okay, there's these YouTube things. I don't know what they're called. They're like celebrity of comic book fights or something. They're these really short films produced where they pit two superheroes against each other in a fight. And it's like a who would win.
Hmm.
And they did one of like Predator versus Wolverine.
Okay.
And it has a decent production value. And the guy who they got to play Wolverine had the Wolverine costume. He had the big wings thing. And it looked like that's basically comic book page to the screen.
Hmm.
And it looked cool because I love Wolverine, but I gotta admit, it looked a little silly too. So I saw that and I was like, you know.
Well, you have to take liberties and narrow down the sides and make it more, like you were saying, tactical, you know, for the use of.
But Psylocke is, that's, like I said, what is the point of these little leg things on Psylocke? Because the comic book had it. What is the point of the lines on Colossus? Because the comic book had it. What is the point of, why would Deadpool have white eyes on his mask? Because the comic book has it. So you cannot have it both ways. You either embrace it or you don't.
I'm wanting the costume.
You're the one who's saying, yeah, you gotta take some liberties, you gotta tone it, you gotta file it.
Well, because
down
you're over here saying it wouldn't look right. I'm trying to make ends meet here, so. Anyway,
and plus, you can't hide Hugh Jackman's face. He's too famous.
Well, then, screw him. Get someone else to play.
Yeah, well, he's done, I think.
Yeah. Well, we just got to talk about it.
Oh, did we? Okay, yeah. Well, I can't remember.
So we just wanted to kind of throw, you know, our two cents on these last little updates.
Since, yeah, because by the time this episode would have dropped, everybody would have known this new news, and we would have sounded like dumbasses. Like,
right.
I think they got this guy.
More of dumbasses than we actually
more
are.
So, yeah. Yes, more so, more so.
So, do you have anything else we want to add on to this, or do you want to say anything else about any other movies?
Marvel-related
or whatnot?
Marvel-related movies?
X-Men, I don't know.
I guess the X-Men universe will not be getting any new additions for people in particular will not be joining the X-Men, the 20th Century Fox cinematic universe.
Right.
I guess we don't have a shorthand for that.
Those are the guys.
But yeah, 20th Century Fox was hoping to combine X-Men with Fantastic Four, and I guess that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And from what I know of, Fantastic Four did not set that up in the new movie.
I would hope not.
I was hoping they would have.
Yeah, well,
just because that would probably have been the coolest thing in the movie. I was like, holy shit, did they just say, like, what, are you telling me these four kids are mutants now or something that just sort of hints that it's a shared universe?
Yeah.
But from what I've heard, they don't do that.
Yeah, I haven't seen the movie yet.
Nor
It just came out, so.
Apparently nobody has.
Yeah, it's getting some, it's getting bombed.
like 2.7 million the first Thursday and then like 11 the next day, like 11 million on a Friday or something.
Yeah,
and they were projecting like 40 or something. I don't know. I hear it's not doing great.
Yeah, the reviews are coming in, not looking good. I don't know. There's got to be some people out there that are loving that.
I'm gonna take the high ground on this one.
All right, but
I don't like to say I told you so. So I'm gonna yell it through cupped hands. I told you so. No, I'm just kidding. That was a community joke.
It's because you're still black.
I don't want to revel in the fact that Fantastic Four is failing, but I'm psyched because it means hopefully the rights will revert back to Marvel. That is why I'm happy.
Yeah,
not because I would love to see Fantastic Four done on the screen properly.
There's a meme out there with Kevin Feige. He's it says soon.
Oh, like soon.
Yeah.
Dot dot dot. Ellipses. Right, I'm hoping, arguably, they could just wait a while. I don't know what their contract is for rights, but this is the second time they made a Fantastic Four movie to retain the rights.
Yeah.
In 94, they did the Roger Corman one, just because the rights were going to lapse, so we're going to make a quick movie. and this one was the same deal. And who knows? Maybe they figure third time's a charm. Well, yeah. As far as doing it to retain the rights, this will be the fifth Fantastic Four movie if they make another one.
If they make it,
But I don't think it'll be with this.
Technically, this cast, the, technically this is the fourth one, and they've all
four times. I guess four times not a charm for the Fantastic Four.
Unfantastic Four.
Fantastic. I've read Fantastic Boar, Fantastic Foe, like FAUX.
Fantastic Fail.
I've read. There's a million jokes running across the worldwide interweb, which I've just learned about.
And that's fun. Did you sign up to your AOL account?
Yes. But then my mom picked up the phone, and I'm like, "Mom, I'm on the phone." Ruined it. I was in the middle of downloading a JPEG
of Kathy Ireland.
Exactly, because it's 1992. I love Kathy Ireland, man. She was the first girl I hung up on my wall. And my mom and it were like, what? My mom was like, walked in my room, was like, you know, she was like mixing. She had like she was mixing some batter, and she was like, but she couldn't say anything because I'm like a teenager now.
My first Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue had the Kathy Ireland, Zell McPherson, and Rebecca Romaine Stamos. Rebecca Romaine at the time.
I remember that. Are they in the pool with the black?
Yeah, that was
like 93, I think. I think I had that one too.
I still have it. I probably still have it in my closet somewhere. Jesus. I don't know. Yeah.
I was big into those Sports Illustrateds in the early 90s because I was like the only smut I could walk into a store and buy. And I still felt embarrassed. Like, I'd like this Sports Illustrated, please. And the cashier is like, you're going to jerk off to this when you get home, aren't you?
Fucking kid.
Yeah. I had that now. It would cut out. They would give you like the three folds that. I had a Kathy Ireland calendar. Anyways. Her and Cindy Crawford. Even though I didn't like Cindy Crawford, she was just one of the bikini babes you can get at like Spencer's.
She was one of the chicks in the 90s.
It was an easy for a little kid to get a hold of that kind of smut.
Yeah.
And Spencer's, of course, had tons of like...
Oh, yeah.
Just bikini babes in the poster section. Every time you go to Spencer, you'd be in the back and you'd just be like flipping through poster after poster, looking around. Like somebody's just... Look at that kid over there. Look at those posters with his little boner.
He's moving the case.
Look at that little 13-year-old just flipping posters. You act like you're going really, really fast. Like, yes, I'm bored with all this. But secretly, you wanted to just linger for like a full minute on this picture of like tons of chicks' butts.
And that's our review of X-Men.
Talk about 13-year-olds with vicious little boners. So, go see X-Men Apocalypse. Okay.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.